So, for those of you who were here on Christmas morning, might remember I put up a slide with some pictures on. Well, I've got another one because I've got another quiz for you this morning. So, if we could have picture one, if the tech will work. Can anybody tell me who those people are?
Your folks.
No, not my folks. Ooh, I've got you all stumped this time. Okay, could we have picture two instead? That's the same people in their youth. Now, do you recognize them? The Seekers. Okay, so Susan, can you name the members of the Seekers? That's the next question. Ooh, Judith Durham, yeah. No, no. Okay, next to Judith Durham is Keith Potter, Bruce Woodley, and Atol Guy. You're probably wondering why am I shown a picture of the Seekers? Well, we're going to come back to them a little later on. As a child, I was brought up on classical music. But I was always puzzled why, in the record collection of my parents, there were two records by the Seekers. They belonged to my mom, and she liked them because they sang some gospel songs. Not exclusively, but they sang some gospel songs, and they had really good voices and harmonies. Probably their most famous hit song was Georgie Girl. That's just the background. And it's only really since Mom has died that I've started to find out about the Seekers. And I can see why my mom liked them. Well, I say, we're going to come back to them in a little while. If you've got your Bibles, would you please turn to Matthew chapter 6 and verses 5 to 15? Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 15. This is Jesus talking. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. And then, if you turn to Luke chapter 23, Luke chapter 23 and verses 32 to 34. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. I don't know about you, but I don't like London. I hate going to London. Why? So many people always going in the opposite direction to me. Always. I'm going that way and everybody else is coming towards me. So inevitably, every now and then, there are a few collisions. A quick, sorry, that's okay. Off we go. It happens almost daily, particularly if you're trying to get on and off the Victoria line on the tube. But a quick apology, instant forgiveness, and everybody carries on as if nothing happened. And you see other people bumping into each other. But put those same people in a car. Somebody just cuts in front of you or suddenly brakes. And it's a completely different story then, isn't it? On the horn, windows down, fists. I even saw, when I used to work in Stevenage, I'd just come over the railway bridge on Six Hills Way, and there's a little lay-by on the left. Two cars had gone screaming by me. They pulled into the lay-by, and two guys got out and started throwing punches at each other because of something that had happened on the roundabout. Completely different, isn't there? Isn't it? Even if there's no actual coming together of the cars, there is no forgiveness, is there? Not like when you bump into somebody, no harm done, but in your cars, whoa, and then you get into the office or you get home, you won't believe what happened to me today. This idiot cut me up at the traffic lights, blah, blah, blah. Forgetting all the times that you've perhaps done that across somebody else. All they think about all day is that incident and how they want revenge. Screws them up all day because there is no forgiveness. I was in a conversation with my boss last year, who is not a Christian, and we came to the conclusion that at the moment in this world, people cannot handle two things. One, death. You see, a celebrity dies and the outpouring of grief from people who have A, never met them, B, don't even know any members of their family or have anything to do with them. The outpouring of grief, people cannot cope with death. And the other one, people cannot forgive. There is no forgiveness. Celebrities, authors, sports stars, TV and film stars, especially politicians, all make mistakes. Often, a genuine mistake. Sometimes from many years ago. And somebody will drag it up, and that's the end of that person's career. Yeah? They can apologize all they like for their actions and really be sorry for what they have said. But it's never enough, is it? It's never enough. People want blood. They don't want apologies. They want revenge. They want the person who's made the apology to resign, be removed from their position of power. In modern language, they're cancelled. Careers and lives can be destroyed just for one thing that was said, perhaps out of turn, 30 years ago. And all because people cannot forgive. What is the result if you don't forgive others? Well, I had a look on the internet and asked that question. And there were loads of things if you look. So I just picked on the Mayo Clinic, that I believe is in the USA, as one example. What are the benefits of forgiving someone? Letting go of grudges and bitterness can make way for improved health and peace of mind. Forgiveness can lead to healthier relationships, improved mental health, less anxiety, stress, and hostility, fewer symptoms of depression, lower blood pressure, a stronger immune system, improved heart health, improved self-esteem. So not forgiving others is bad for your health. If you don't forgive, all those things I've just mentioned that are good, if you do forgive people, the opposite applies. They are bad for your health. There's much in the Bible about forgiveness. In fact, forgiveness is pretty much a key message. Where would we be if God was not forgiving? Where would we be if God was not willing to forgive us our sins? Where would we be? We're here today because, as we thought in the fight of us, Jesus died and rose again so that we might have our sins forgiven. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God forgives your sins? If you don't know what it is to have your sins forgiven by God, then listen to the message of the cross. It is not folly. It is the power of God. We're all sinners cut off from God because of our sin. The only way to get right with God is confess that sin, say sorry to God, accept his forgiveness, and repent. I mentioned a few weeks ago about one of the fighter verses about how Sally dropped my favourite Walsall football mug. No, she dropped it. Brenda was very good and very perceptive, because when I said, "What did I do?" Brenda's forgotten. I said, "That's fine. I forgive you. It's just a piece of pottery, a piece of clay. It doesn't matter." All was forgiven, relationship restored. You know, if you haven't approached God before because you think he can't possibly forgive me, I've done some pretty bad things, then think again. That second reading we had, Jesus asked God to forgive those who were crucifying him. If Jesus can forgive those who are nailing him to the cross, then we have no excuse, do we? Restore that relationship with God. Confess your sins, repent of them. Those things you know you've done wrong, said wrong, and rejoice in the forgiveness of God. The first reading we had about the Lord's Prayer, Jesus said some pretty radical things there. Things that we don't tend to think about when we look at the Lord's Prayer. I'd like to consider that a little bit now. Jesus taught us to come to God and ask him to forgive our sins. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. It's the Lord's Prayer. We all know it. It's said by many, many millions of people every day. Some just by rote because they've been taught to do it. Others because they really believe in what it says. But how many of us actually think about those words as we also have forgiven our debtors? Yeah? Do you think about that when you pray the Lord's Prayer? Yeah, you pray to God, forgive me for what I've done wrong. But do you really think about the second part? Jesus goes on a bit further than that, doesn't he? He says, if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. That sounds a bit harsh, doesn't it? But that's what Jesus said. Note it says, we also have forgiven, not might forgive, or if the other person apologizes, then I'll think about it. We have forgiven. We come to God having forgiven those who have sinned against us. Then we come to God and confess our sins and we restore those relationships with the other person and with God. I wonder, is there somebody you need to forgive? Is there somebody who needs to forgive you and you just need to go and say, I'm sorry? Maybe a grudge that's been held for many years and has driven you apart from loved ones, friends, family. What is stopping you? We've seen that forgiving others is good for our physical and mental health. But it's even more important for our spiritual health. Let's come back to the pop group. Could we have the either picture up? Doesn't matter. You start. Okay, so there we are. That's the Seekers as they were taken a few years ago. And the two people I want to focus on is the guy on the left, Bruce Woodley, and Judith Durham. In the early to mid-60s, or possibly even to the late 60s, the Seekers were one of the most successful pop groups out. They kept acts like the Beatles and the Rolling Stones from being number one in the pop charts. In the 60s, that took some doing to outdo the Beatles and the Rolling Stones. They were very, very successful. Georgie Girl, the song I mentioned earlier, was actually, they were asked to do that song for the film of the same name. So if you get asked to sing the theme tune to a song, you've made it. But things weren't going so well as far as Judith Durham was concerned, because she wanted to go solo. She wanted to leave the band. She felt it was the right time to leave. And she told them she wanted to do that. And she did it. Just before the band was about to sign a very, very lucrative deal, recording deal, that would have made them very rich. And the lead singer leaves the group. How would you feel? Probably not feeling too good. Well, for Bruce, his whole life changed, and he ended up resenting Judith for all the hurt she had caused him. And they went their separate ways. He held a grudge against Judith Durham. Nearly 25 years later, Judith and her husband were involved in a fatal car crash. He was badly injured, and it was somebody in the other car who lost their life. And as a result of that accident, they all kind of came together. Bruce wrote a letter to Judith, letting her know of the hurt she had caused him 25 years earlier. And the first thing that happened when they got back together as the four of them just meeting, Judith apologized because she didn't even know what she had done had caused him such hurt. He said to her, that was a brave thing to say, to apologize. And in his own words, the moment he said that, his resentment went, he'd forgiven her after 25 years of hurt. Shortly after that, they had a 25 years reunion concert. And they did many more concerts after that, to the point they even had a 50 year reunion concert. But for 25 years,
there was resentment and unforgiveness. And they probably went on and made far more money 25 years later and for the next 25 years than if they'd have signed that record deal. Yeah. 25 years of hurt and pain gone because of forgiveness. I have a friend called Andy Gardner, and he is the vicar of St. John's Church in Hatfield. When he was a lot younger, he used to go to St. Andrew's Chorleywood and also to Soul Survivor Church in Watford. And while he was there, he witnessed a lot of the work of the Holy Spirit in healing people. But one story he tells is of a lady who came prayer for healing for very bad arthritis. And while Andy was just talking to her and another guy with him ready to pray for her, he just felt the Lord say, "There is unforgiveness in your heart. You need to deal with the unforgiveness first before we pray for your healing." She prayed for forgiveness and forgave the other person. They didn't have to pray for her arthritis to go, because in praying and releasing the other person, forgiving the other person, the arthritis went. That's not to say that everybody with arthritis has got it because of unforgiveness. But that is not an uncommon story. You've probably read somewhere you use less muscles to smile than you do to frown. So if you're angry and resentful, you're like this, aren't you? You tense up a bit and clench up a bit. If you keep that up year after year after year, it doesn't do you any good. Selwyn Hughes, who used to write Every Day with Jesus, tells a similar story of a lady who had fallen out with her sister, and she too had something like arthritis. Bear in mind, I read this 30 plus years ago, so memory's a little bit hazy. But he had counseled her, and "You need to forgive your sister." By this time, they lived at opposite ends of the country, old and frail, unable to travel really. So she wrote her sister a letter, forgiving her. And she went along to the post box, and she waited a long time before she actually put that letter in. She held it there for a while, and eventually she let it go, because once it's gone in that post box, you don't get it back. The minute she let it go, she was completely transformed, physically, mentally, knowing that she'd forgiven her sister, even though it'd be a day or two before her sister got that letter. That's the effect that it had. And one last story. I think I've mentioned this before from here. My paternal grandfather did a lot of preaching. And one time he was preaching at a church in Leicester. And he could see from the front as he was preaching, two ladies sat next to each other, suddenly burst into tears, both of them at the same time. And they turned and started to give each other a big hug. Quite surprised by what was going on. So after the service, he inquired what was going on with those two women. And although they used to sit next to each other every single week, they hated each other. For some reason, something had happened and there was tension between them. Now, my grandfather was not preaching on forgiveness. We don't know what he was preaching about, but God touched their hearts and they forgave each other there and then while he was preaching. And a relationship was restored. Jesus died on that cross that we might be forgiven. He forgives you. You go to him, he will forgive you for your sins. And that relationship with God will be restored. How much more then should we forgive others? I'm going to ask again, is there anybody here or watching on Zoom you need to apologize to because you know you've caused people hurt? Or is there somebody you know you need to forgive? Don't leave it 25 years like Bruce Woodley did. Don't carry that resentment or guilt with you. It's not good for your health, is it? Let's pray. As we pray, let's actually pray the Lord's Prayer. Let's really mean what we pray when we ask God to forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who have sinned against us. Let's pray, shall we? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and glory forever and ever. Amen.